Sarah to call the roll. I'll take a stab at it quickly.
I can do it too. I got the list.
Oh, it's thank on. You.
Trevor Chair.
Here.
Steve Markey.
Here.
Polly Bear.
Here.
I crossed you out on that delay.
I had a piece of ice in my
head. And I thought I would be.
Yes, it's not alphabetical. You guys should. John Merrill.
Here.
Carl Kohler. Bill Norris.
Here.
Andrew Benjamin.
Here.
Peter Flintz.
Here.
Brian Arell.
Here.
Roberta Marshall.
Here.
Jeff Pettis. The kid sitting tonight. Oh.
Not he's present.
He's a new daddy. He's a new daddy.
We have a quorum. A couple of little housekeeping items. Cell phones, please, should be off. Secondly, Christy, you got a sign-up sheet for the two gentlemen that are here? Or do you know them, factually?
Yep. They're the applicants.
Perfect. And you don't need to sign in, I guess. The last thing is, because this proceeding is recorded, the only way it really works well is if we all use the microphone. So, at such point in time that you'll be addressing the commissioners, please use the microphone. Public comment. At this point in the evening, anyone who wishes to address the commissioners on any topic that is not on the agenda, now is the time to do so. Seeing none, we close that portion. Approval of the minutes, July 5th. Any corrections, additions, deletions, or what have yous? Hearing none.
Mr. Chair, vote to approve.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Opposed, please say no.
Yes.
Motion carries. Minutes are approved. Overland Net Stagecoach Calistro, consolidation zone change and vacation easements. Three petitions. PL 18-144, PL 18-151, and 152. Obviously, one is for consolidation, one's for rezoning, and one is for vacation of the utility easements. Am I guessing that the petitioners are here? If you have anything to say, now would be the time to do so. Again, please use the lectern.
Good evening, gentlemen and ladies. We're here today to try to consolidate 10 lots.
Can you just state your name for the record?
I'm sorry. Larry Calistro.
Thank you.
We're here to consolidate 10 lots into two five-acre parcels. It's a total of 11 acres, and we've had it surveyed, and we're hoping to get that going here today. And there's one thing that I did want to bring up was the fee in lieu. I talked to Doug Monger about this a while back. Where our property is located, it's on the back edge of Stagecoach, beyond all the facilities and infrastructure. We brought in our own road of approximately about 2.5 blocks up to grade, code for the fire truck and whatever else needs that are meeting the code. And basically, I'm just looking for that $1,400 to be waived after talking to Doug. He said that this was brought out for owners like us, where we have to do our own infrastructure. We actually have to bring in our own electric, and that's the reason why we're consolidating as well, so we can have a leach field and a holding tank rather than the tanks where you have to have them sucked out through Morrison Creek. I don't think there's anything else, Steve, that...
That's it.
Okay. Thank you.
Dad.
Sure. So the applicants are requesting... There are three requests here, one for the consolidation of 9 lots located in Overland subdivision in the south area of Stagecoach. Those lots are currently not served by water or sewer. Therefore, the second request is to rezone those properties well, is to consolidate those properties to create 2 5-acre parcels, and then to rezone those lots from LDR, low-density residential, to MRE, mountain residential estate zoning, which is our 5-acre zoning. The purpose of that is so the applicants can build 2 dwelling units, one on each lot, and be served by individual wells for water and for an on-site septic system, which requires 5 acres in order to do that. The last part of the request is a vacation of utility easements. The vacation of utility easements are for the interior lot lines that run along the interior lot lines that were originally part of when Overland was platted back in the early 70s. We have received sign-offs by involved interested agencies that sign us for the okay for the utility easements to be vacated. And then as far as staff comments, the consolidation of the parcels is for continuous parcels, contiguous parcels, and that allows for properties to be across the right-of-way. So just bringing up the site plan here of what the request is. As you can see here, lot one includes this area here and across King Bolt Trail. And this, the purpose of this is just for the lot area to go into lot one. Lot two is across Ramunda Trail here. And a portion of lot two is across the right-of-way. Staff did bring up that during the red line review process, this corner of lot two and lot one, right here, may need to shift slightly and be tweaked during that process to actually make it contiguous across this right-of-way. They do have enough land area to do that, but we did bring it up in the staff report. That's something that may need to be tweaked later on.
I'm sure Dave said he can take care of that.
Sure. Okay. And again, yes, we can work with their surveyor on that when the time comes. The road access to the site is in good shape coming down from the trail here. Referrals were sent to the fire department and our road and bridge department. Comments that we received from Road and Bridge is that the applicants would need to submit for driveway access, which I believe they already have done for lot two.
And lot one as well.
And for lot one as well. And there's a condition of approval, condition number 14, that states that no more than one access permit per lot. As far as the fire district is concerned, there have been preliminary conversations with the applicants at this point in time, and when a building permit is pulled, there could be some improvements that they may require at that time, which I believe has been discussed with the applicants.
Excuse me, sorry
yes.
to interrupt. If I could just jump on that. I did talk to Chuck Weiskopf, and he brought up 3 spots, probably about a quarter mile, half a mile up to the main road that he thinks need improvements. And that we need to take care of before he would sign off on any building permit. So this is another issue that, according to SPOA, Overland Subdivision has 0 funds. That has been documented and put in any sort of fund at all whatsoever since the beginning of Stagecoach Properties. And it's something I've tried to deal with SPOA, but at this point in time, there's no funds. There's never been any funds for this road. It's all on the owners and homeowners to work together and to keep it maintained and plowed at this time. And yeah, as far as what we mentioned on the upgrades at the fire department, there were just 3 spots. It's going to take a few truckloads of material and a grader to fix the spots.
And I'm assuming your position is that you're going to eat those expenses?
We were planning on it, yes. We don't have it. There's no other choice at this
time. All right, that's kind of where I was going.
After the staff packet was put together, we received two additional comments, one from Environmental Health, they're requesting for condition of approval, which I believe we can add as condition number 15, and that would be that the property owner shall obtain an on-site wastewater permit for the Route, from the Route County Environmental Health Department.
Isn't that part of the building permit anyway?
It is, and it would be taken care of as part of the building permit. The condition isn't necessarily something that you need to put in, but they ask for it.
It's just redundant, okay. Yeah.
And then last was the comments that we received from John Troca, the president of SPOA, the Homeowners Association. I provided you all copies with that. Most of the comments that were raised are items that could be taken care of and will be taken care of during our red line review process if this application moves forward and is approved. And at this point, I guess procedurally, there would need to be three motions that would need to be made here tonight.
Does the county map associations, bike paths and easements and things like that, is that on the county plat too? Or is that just for the association?
You mean their trail?
They were saying, yeah, they had mentioned there that they had the association has some trail easements that will continue to exist. And I was just curious. I didn't know, are they on the county plat maps, or is that just something they do internally?
Like most of the city coastal plats, I believe, have them as a plat note that all interiors or lot lines contain a trail easement.
There's quite a few common areas back there where we're at. There's actually three that are tied to our property.
Yes.
Christy, yep. You said that you believe most of Mr. Troca's concerns can be taken care of. I think you said the red line issue.
Correct.
Could you clarify, is it really most or is it all? And is there any one of those things that might prevent us from considering this petition this evening?
We would be able to address 3 through 7, all through the red line review process. Number 1 and 2 are items for you to discuss, and that has to do with the HOA, some of their requirements.
If I could speak, Steve Donaldson. I did speak with SPOA concerning items 1 and 2. 2 is a matter of some assessments. I have receipts for having paid up those assessments. And the other is a matter of going through the consolidation process with them, which conveniently is being held in 2 weeks. So I'll be able to go through that process before I meet with the commissioners.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Because that was going to be at least my question. You're aware of these conditions. You're aware of this. I mean, personally, I'm not sure that this group needs to start enforcing covenants for associations.
Please, no.
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 I was trying to be polite. So, okay.
I guess the only last thing I would say is, we both here have been here residents since the early 90s, late 80s, and the first lot that I bought was back here in 1989, and there's never been anything done since that time back there. And it is on the very edge of where I would say it's buildable. It's only 2 blocks from the last house, and there's 3 houses on that road, but past me, it drops into a really deep culvert where there's flooding issues, and SPOA hasn't paid any attention to putting any culverts in. So all the roads are washed out in the spring and through the rest of the season. So, I just thought I'd point that out. Thank you again.
Another question for you on that issue. You said Chuck Weiskopf was going to sign off on that if you put some more gravel and stuff, was that in consideration of a turnaround at your area, or is...
No, that is actually part of High Cross Subdivision, which is separated from SPOA, and they're on their own. We're actually on an island back on this road where this ends up on Kingbow, reviewed it at Kingbow. To get to the 16, which is Lakes Pass, we actually go through two private subdivisions. And then it's Blacktail at the beginning for the first block, and they are a part of Spoa. But since High Cross separated, there's been, I was actually in contact with Zeta Ogle, who was a board member in High Cross and for Spoa, and he was kind of guiding me through this process all last year. Great guy, we lost him through this winter, he passed away. And since he's been gone, we've had a lot of issues with the board member. One board member on our road, he didn't plow, he's getting paid for, he's a board member. Just trying to coordinate things, it just got really confusing and really felt like I ended up having to get a plow truck to plow myself out in the road itself all the way to 16 a couple of times in the winter. And this guy just refuses to communicate, and that's what he told me right to my face. So I really feel that we are back there on an island separated from Spoa. They're putting rules on us, like for everybody else, but we've got a lot of extra things to do. It's in a dark timber strip that's full of beetle kill that I've been working on, you know, since I've owned the original lot back in the 90s, and now I got six lots that are just dark timber strips. You cannot walk through, it's so thick, and that's what I've been trying to work on in between getting this project done and hopefully try to build a house out there. But
are the vault surfaces going to be able to get back into your driveway without
the vaults? We've got a leach field situation. Uh-huh. That's the purpose of
not going to pump anything out. Okay.
Good.
But there are vault trucks that make it to the neighbors that are just in front of us. And the vault truck was being able to stock property as well.
Go. Yeah, the applicants have brought up the fee in lieu. So I thought I'd just give you a short summary of the fee in lieu process. When a subdivision is proposed in the county to create new lots, even in this instance with consolidations, part of deeming it buildable is compliance with all the regulations. The fee in lieu of public sites basically states that the board can require up to 5% of the value of the project after approved. And if the applicant doesn't like that number, basically, an applicant can do their own study to say that, hey, the impacts, you know, on the community are less than 5% of the value of our subdivision. Through that, most recently, that for sale subdivision, you know, that kind of got into that discussion mainly at the board of, you know, what the appropriate number was. State statutes say that it's the impacts on parks and schools, and between the applicant board and staff came up with a number that was appropriate for that subdivision on a per lot basis. Basically, to avoid all of this stuff, you know, way back when we changed the regs in 05, 06, that to promote the consolidations, the board just continued to accept our old number, which is in effect before 2006, which was the $1,400 per lot. And so the request is to waive that even further. But, you know, Planning Commission can discuss that, you know, because I think the bottom line is any new lot has the potential to have an impact on parks and schools. But could an argument be made that, well, this is a new lot, it's not a new lot?
Yes.
I mean, I don't recall this showing up in previous consolidations.
Okay. Well, it's been a part of everyone.
It's my recall, obviously.
Yeah, no, it's been a part. You know, probably just because it hasn't really been an issue.
Well, I would think they're alleviating the impact on schools by taking 10 lots and making them 2.
Exactly.
So you would think it's kind of working in reverse here. So you're obviously limiting what the possible impacts could be.
Sounds like a good roundtable discussion.
Yeah.
Rather than having 10 lots and building 10 houses with 10 vault systems.
Well, but that's not a consideration because you can't really do that.
Exactly.
But 10 families going to school.
When I talked to Doug Monger, he also said that there was a deal with the plowing, the maintenance of the roads back in this area, and that is also a part of it, if I understand right, where if you're not getting county plowed, which we're not, that was, that's just something he brought up. I, since he's not here, I can't really speak with him, but that was part of our discussion that he did bring up.
Certified the county roads.
Exactly. And it kind of, since they're not county plowing, it's like, okay, we'll give you a little break. Is that something you're going to have to maintain yourself? And that's why I did bring that up earlier. That
again, this is fee in lieu of public sites. Statutes state that it's for impacts on parks, land, and schools.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And I can tell you also that, you know, you'll be seeing one here shortly, but the Frisell, I mean, true, that was steamboat prices, but that negotiated price with the board after some back and forth was over $7,000 per lot.
Right.
I think it's one of the reasons why the board went with $1,400 12 years ago.
Yeah. Roberta?
A question for Christy.
Yes.
You mentioned, or one of the conditions talk about one access per lot. I was just curious how that works when you've got a lot one that straddles the street. Does that mean they couldn't have a vehicular access to both sides of the street?
Mm-hmm. It
would just be to the building site. So if we go back to the map, one access would go to this area of lot one, the larger portion, and one access would go to lot two, unless, of course, the applicant chose that they wanted their building sites on the smaller pieces. They could do that if they met setbacks. But I believe they already received their access permits. I knew definitely for lot two. So that's over right over here. And then there is an existing access, I believe, right over here to lot one.
Yeah, that permit was taken out 3 years ago.
Yeah. Well,
and then one other question. You mentioned that the lot line between lot one and lot two on the north side of the road would have to be tweaked so that there was direct access.
Correct.
Does that need to be a condition? Would we need to add that as a condition?
I did include a condition, number 14. Prior to the recording of the plat, the southwest corner of lot 1 and 2 shall be adjusted to conform to the consolidation standards under the definition of contiguous.
Thank you. Sorry.
You're
each lot has a little more over 5 acres, so there's no problem moving the pin, say, 5 feet over to connect it. Basically, they just want to line up the pin. You can understand it through the survey that it can just drop it over a little bit. So between those two pins off the road, you're just going to draw it over very close. I walked it. It's approximately 5 feet. So it takes just a little tiny sliver, which is, there would be plenty. There's actually 5.43 of the design, I believe. So there's no problem taking it.
Thank you.
Any other questions for either staff or the commissioner?
I have one other item I just wanted to bring up, which was addressed, mentioned in John Troca's letter, and we discussed this with Road and Bridge. It has to do with condition number 5A, and these refer to plat notes. A is our normal condition, which reads, Route County is not responsible for maintaining or improving subdivision roads, which should remain. It's the next sentence that should be deleted at this point in time, which says, the roads shown herein have not been dedicated nor accepted by the county. In this case, the roads were accepted by the commissioners, but the roads were not built to county standards. So that language can be will be put on the plat based on Road and Bridge recommendation. But I think if we just delete that sentence, we should be fine.
Well, actually, that's not quite true, though. The roads really were dedicated. They're public roads. They're just not. They're privately maintained.
Right. Okay, they've not been accepted for maintenance.
Right.
Right, but the land.
But the sentence says, the roads shown hereon have not been dedicated. That's not true.
Correct.
Yes, FOA claims to have, that's their right-of-way, that's their right, I guess.
My experience is no, it's county right-of-way.
Now, if you look at the original plat of Overland, the county commissioners have accepted those roads on behalf of the public.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So for the purposes of clarification, Christy,
yes,
you don't really want to eliminate the entire Well, I guess you could eliminate it.
Just the second sentence.
Just the second sentence.
Right.
Any other comments, Christy?
That would be it for now.
And then, any other questions for staff?
Is the $1,400 one of the conditions of approval?
It's condition number 11. So this is our normal standard policy that we have crafted into a condition that you see on all consolidations. And that's what Chad was describing, that $1,400 is the reduced fee that the commissioners came up with back in the day, trying to encourage consolidations, but not holding them to the normal 5%.
Right. We'll discuss that. For the time being, any other questions for either staff or the commissioners?
There was a recommended number 15 that was...
Number 15 was the...
From environmental health.
Condition of approval from environmental health, which they would have to do anyway. It's just a second set of teeth there.
And then at this point in time, I'd like to open it up to public comment. But seeing there are apparently no public comment available, we'll close that session as well. So I think a little bit of discussion on the fee in lieu. It's my understanding, first of all, I think it's possible we can make a recommendation to waive it, but ultimately, doesn't that fall back to the county, the BCC?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm interested to hear what the commissioner's comments are. I could make an argument that in this application, and particularly consolidations, I don't know if it's appropriate, but that's my thoughts. I'm interested to hear your thoughts, which will ultimately land in some type of recommendation.
I would just like to ask what precedent we might have for waiving that fee of $1,400. Do we have some precedent for that?
You know, I guess that depends on the details of this application compared to the next one. You know, that if you came to the conclusion that these two new lots would not have an impact on parks and schools in the future, you know, or would there be some other
finding for dismissing the fee in lieu?
Well, I think
I guess my question is, are there any examples where we have waived the fee?
In the situation where there has been either public land dedication or a fee in lieu paid in the past. But I can tell you, I've researched that not necessarily for Overland, but some of the other stagecoach subdivisions to see what the fee, what public site dedication was required back in the 70s, and the records don't really reflect anything.
Yeah. Thank you.
Nothing I could find.
Well, there was common space and things when these subdivisions were originally platted. Was that taken? I mean, that was like the public benefit back then. And wasn't there something... I don't know, when they were originally approved. Now, this was 10 lots that technically could have 10 vaults and 10 homes on it. So I think by consolidating and the county wanting people to consolidate, charging them money to do something you want to do, and I think it if you look at it purely on the numbers, there could be much greater impacts if these lots weren't consolidated. So I think that is a public benefit, and I would be up for waiving these fees.
Recommending. I was going to say, sir, there's quite a few vaults that are still available in Marston Creek or Overland, so that by eliminating any vaults whatsoever, just 10 lots, is definitely an impact factor because every house on my road has a vault. I'm the only one with 5 acres. Except for my nearest neighbor who put in, was actually done illegally back in the day.
He has a vault.
Oh, yeah,
it is a deal. 4.78.
But most of that region that's...
Are we just limited by the state statutes? Or can we set aside...
Sorry, Troy.
We're in round table now.
Are we limited to the state statute, or can the county... Is this fee in lieu, as adopted by the county, broader than parks and schools?
The regulations that we have are broader. I mean, I believe it mentions, you've got the language in the staff report, recreation facilities and schools, but I think it says, and other public sites.
I guess what was going through my head was, I don't know if the board would want to entertain something like this, but if they're collecting fee, would the county entertain a fund per subdivision that future road improvements could be assisted with?
Well, you mean a fund for these fee in lieu, the fee in lieu they collect?
Yeah.
Yeah, the statutes are clear about how that money can be spent. You know, and so I don't have that in front of me today, but it's pretty tight. You know, it might be a little more than just parks and schools, but not much.
But to go farther, is it specific then to the Stagecoach subdivision?
It has to be, again, gray wording, within the area, served by the new lot. You know, I don't forget what it is, but... It's subjective, I would say. You know, so could you take this money and give it to Hayden for their parks or schools? No.
No, I don't think.
You know, but could it be Oak Creek parks and schools? Maybe so. Make that case that it's going to impact Oak Creek parks and schools.
Okay. Peter, any thoughts?
Yeah, I'm just concerned about the precedent of everybody coming in and saying, "Oh no, I don't want to pay the fee." And, it seems we discussed that on some of the other issues of fees that are paid for changes to the planning commission. Kind of said, we should look at those carefully and have one standard set of fees. I hate to start negotiating each and every fee for each and every.
Well, this isn't necessarily a fee. Well, it is. I mean, it
says it's a fee.
Like they're still paying for them to do all the platting, right? I mean, this isn't the only cost associated with this. They're paying there for the replatting. This is an
additional fee.
If you could keep your comments, this is kind of between us for now. Thank you.
I don't know the impact. I think it's lessening the impact. I don't see why we're charged it. Well, now they're thinking about building out there, but somebody else could have built their 10 little homes out there and have much greater impact. I think we want to encourage people to consolidate these lots so there'll actually be less impact to the roads and to everything if there's two homes instead of 10 homes.
I understand that, but it seems like there's a state statute that says there shall be an impact fee. And then do we want to kind of decide whether there's an impact or not an impact in each and every case?
Yeah.
Well, it kind of touches on where I was headed with my thought. And maybe it's not going to schools and parks, but apparently these roads have been accepted by the county. And then it sounds like SPOA feels that at some point in time, they may be eligible for county maintenance. So if you're collecting a fee from a replat, can the county then use that for future road maintenance?
Well, I would say no. I mean, and that's just based on my recollection of that list of items that the statutes say you can spend fee in lieu of public site money for. Like I say, it's a short list. And it's mainly focused on parks and schools.
This may not be my purview. Steve Donaldson, once again, I just wanted to mention that in my understanding of the consolidation also was that part of the consolidation process, in addition to being encouraged by the county, some of the fees are meant to be consolidated and waived. That were, you know, this is actually mentioned in the encouraging portion of the county minutes.
You may be right. However, that's how the 1400 got there.
I just was mentioning that as an aside.
Andy.
We've done this a bunch of times. The conversation's gone very much the same as it's already started. We all agree that the fee is something that could have the potential to be waived. We've even recommended waiving it. To my knowledge, it's never been waived. We've made recommendations like waive the fee, but if you do impose the fee, keep it at the 1400, not the 5%.
Okay. So I'm not sure you're, so where do you stand?
I stand on keeping it at 1400 and let the commissioners do what they're...
Yeah, I mean, I think the discussion alone is supposed to get their attention.
It, they hear it every time.
Okay. Try it.
Work. First time. Six.
I think it should be waived. For all those reasons I didn't like it. If this is what the county wants, it shouldn't be nicking everybody that comes in for a fee and whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Troy brought up a really good point that we also said land or money in lieu of, and I think he's pretty much, they have already put a lot into the roof structure, so in lieu of the $1,400-$1,500, I think they've already spent that. I would wait.
Good. Good birthday.
I'll wait.
John?
I don't know if they knew to contribute, but I would agree with waiving it for reasons that Brian mentioned, but if it's not waived, I would keep it at $1,400 by Andy.
One last question. When Stagecoach was platted, admit there was no such thing as this fee in lieu of, but lands were set aside for open space and lands were set aside for schools, if I'm thinking right.
Yes, but I'm not sure if how the regulation read back then. It could that $1,400 requirements may have been in effect since 72.
I mean, I guess where my head is right now, it's almost like you're double tapping.
Well, the fee is just to, you know, get these applications in front. I don't know what you pay. You know,
$600 is the application.
For the consolidation, but then there's also the rezone, which is reduced. Normally, a rezone is $1,000, but for consolidations in Stagecoach and Steamboat Lake, the application for the rezone is $500, so there's a reduced fee there, and then there is an additional fee for the vacation of utilities.
Gotcha. So that's pretty hefty. So now the question is to the commissioners, do you want to just get rid of
11,
or do you want to frame it in the form of a recommendation?
If we get rid of it, though, I'll make a motion. Commissioners go back and put it in anyway?
That's my whole point.
but I would say whoever the motion maker is, if you're in favor of getting rid of that $1,400 fee in lieu, explain why in a finding of fact.
Okay. Any other discussion on any other parts of the petition and findings? And once again, Christy, we've got words for the... Number 15, I guess.
We have the amendment to 5A, condition number 5A.
Right.
To delete the second sentence.
Right. But then we have number 15.
And then number 15.
Which is on a building. No one's getting a building permit without it.
I guess the attitude, I guess the approach is this. I guess we recognize that. Do you want to respect the request of the environmental people and have it as a separate condition? Yes, it's redundant. However, I guess my opinion is in the spirit of cooperation.
Sure.
Good.
Thanks.
So what were those words?
Property owner shall obtain an on-site wastewater permit from Rauk County Environmental Health.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a question.
Go
to the bug. Road and bridge. Only one driveway. I don't understand the thinking as to the why. Why is it that they only want one driveway permit for each buildable lot?
I know it's something that they almost never approve more than one access permit. So I think the concern here is that if those lots are split across a right-of-way, that they wouldn't be able to come in for a driveway on the other remaining lots across the right-of-way.
But it's a zoning reg, period, isn't it?
What's that?
It's a zoning reg. It's in the regs.
It is, and it is something that doesn't necessarily have to be a condition either, like the environmental health. If they went into Road and Bridge for an additional access permit,
they wouldn't get it.
They wouldn't be able to get it anyway.
I always thought it was still law.
They're not law.
Good point.
Could be a safety issue.
But that, I think that's generally what
everywhere, so that not everyone has three pull-outs.
Intersection.
Yeah. Makes traffic enter the roadway in certain areas, and that's why they issue permits for it.
Right.
We could, if they've got something in writing, we could forward it to you or bring it up to the next administrative report.
Well, maybe you put an accessory building on the outlot on lot one. And so my house is over in the middle of lot one, main body, but I want a detached garage on lot two.
Or a barn.
And or a barn.
There's an access permit that needs to be obtained, you know, in order to get a driveway, period. And there may be an exception or a variance or something, so I just don't know.
Well, and I know we just swallow this all the time, but, you know, it's just came to my attention that I don't understand the basis in this project.
Okay.
If on 131, I get it.
I agree too, because it, you know, depending on the project, it may make sense to have your barn on the other side of the ravine or something. I don't understand what the...
Well, even tractor access.
Hmm?
Even a tractor access.
Yeah. This is actually on the original homestead.
Well, but they're all that way. The entire county's got the same rules.
Right.
Done.
Exactly.
So we'll get you an answer. I just don't know. Okay.
Okay.
Well, and again, I think if it's a county road and, you know, heavy public traffic, I get it, but I'm not. Shh. Shh. Anyway, I just feel that.
I think you're asking staff to come up with the logic behind it.
Well, they interact with every department. I mean,
yeah, no,
I'm just trying to understand it myself as to why I couldn't do that. In other words, if I was Mr. Calistro and I wanted to do that, I'd like to know why I can't do it.
So can you catch up to Road and Bridge and see if they have some logic behind that ordinance? Reg? Sorry.
Well,
I know it says it.
I don't think we have to put it in here.
Mr. Chairman?
Sir?
Yeah, I mean, if it is a regulation.
Do you want me to read what the regulation says?
I mean, yeah, we don't know what criteria Roadridge has for their access permits, but however, our what it's under
5.7.1 right-of-way access standards.
It's in there. I know it's in there.
It says no more than one right-of-way access point shall be approved to a single building lot or to a contiguous building lots, which were under the same ownership at the time such building lots were created, unless it can be shown that the additional accesses would be significantly beneficial to the safety and operation of the road or the local circulation.
So, how about this? Go to Road and Bridge at some point down the road and say, look, in an instance like this, would you enforce those regs or would you waive them or would you work around them somehow?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you had, you own lot two, and you had your house on the big one, and you wanted
a little barn on
barn
little.
The other one,
yeah.
Would they turn it in? Okay, we can get you that in.
Could I make one point on that as well?
No.
Please?
I'm serious.
Okay.
This is a wrong kid.
Is yes. That, did you want to consider eliminating that condition?
I'm going to leave it up to whomever makes the motion. Oh, I'm sorry. This condition?
This is a condition.
The driveway condition?
30. Yeah, so it's number 13.
Yeah. Yeah, you might want to take it out because we've got regulations.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, they have that.
They would have to go to Road and Bridge and they can have that discussion with them.
So what if it was a safety issue, which we could approve under our regulations, and Road and Bridge had something similar? But the only thing standing in the way would be 13 to keep it.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Okay.
Let's take it out.
13 out and renumber.
Yep. Okay. Any other comments, questions, discussion items?
What are we doing with 11? Are we eliminating it, or are we going to put in a recommendation?
It's a function of whomever makes the motion.
Mike's one.
But be advised.
Can I make a motion?
Be advised, if a motion is made to eliminate it, then there should be an explanation as to why the motion maker is eliminating.
Not just a reason, a finding of fact.
You're I think it gets it to the same place, but okay.
I don't know, I can agree with your reasoning behind the logic, but I can not agree with your finding of fact.
I didn't ask for a finding of fact. I said it's a motion.
Basically, you hold your feet to the fire that you're following the regulations. You know, if there's something, if there's ever a staff report that we've prepared that it's unclear on an application of a certain criteria or even a waiver or something that's a gray area, we usually will try and come up with a finding to say, hey, we just haven't ignored this.
But couldn't you make that finding while you're making the motion as part of the motion?
Sure.
Yes.
I mean, that's how I was viewing this. Yep. It's specific to removing that condition. And the reason the condition is being removed is because of this, this, and this. That's not to me is the same as a finding of fact that shows up at the beginning. That's I'm splitting hairs, but that's where I was from.
I would just recommend leaving it in place and suggesting its waiver. It's a lot cleaner.
That's the other option.
It's so much cleaner, and we've done it in the past.
Well, again, it gets back to the motion maker.
Yeah.
So, having said that, and now we beat this to death, there's actually three motions we need. The first motion would be concerning PL 18-144, the consolidations of lots 107 and 112 through 120. Which? Coincidentally, have to carry out the conditions.
I'll make a finding, or I'll make a motion to approve PL 18-144 with findings of fact 1 as written, conditions 1 through 4 as written, condition 5, striking 5A, the second sentence, and the rest of the condition as written, conditions 6 through 10 as written, striking condition 11 with my finding of fact that the reason for this fee is not needed because it won't increase the potential to our schools and parks, things that would actually decrease the usage of such by consolidating these lots and going to fewer homes. Condition 12 as written, striking condition 13, condition 14 as written, and adding condition 15, on-site wastewater sewage permit will be needed from environmental health at time of building permit.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
I second.
We have a second from Paul. Discussion on the motion.
Brian, as part of your motion and your finding for removing 11, do you mind if the minutes reflect that that's just put with the findings?
Yes, that's fine. Yes.
Friendly amendment. This is a recommendation for approval, not an approval.
That's true. Okay. Agreed. Brian, you okay with that?
Say that again?
Yeah.
This is really a recommendation.
We're approving it, but...
We're not approving it. Our recommendation is
right.
We're not approving anything. Actually, an argument may be misunderstood, but okay.
It's just technical. I'm sorry. Yep. Just being thorough.
You can be technical. Okay, any other discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Opposed, please say no.
No.
Andy, is that you?
Yeah.
Chair votes yes. Motion is carried. However, Andy, would you please expand just a bit?
I don't agree with removing condition number 11.
That part we got.
That's the only reason why I would vote against that particular motion.
Okay. Motion carried. I said that already. Next would be PL-18-151. Which is the rezoning from LDR, low-density residential, to MRE, which is mountain residential estate, I think. Mm-hmm. Chair will entertain a motion on that.
I'll make a motion that we approve or recommend approval of activity PL. What? 18-151 with the findings of fact as written and the conditions 1-3 as written.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion as presented signify by saying yes.
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 Opposed, say no. Chair votes yes. Motion carries. Last for consideration would be PL-18-152, vacation of the utility easements.
I'll make a motion to approve PL-18-152, finding the fact 1 is written and conditions 1 and 2 is written.
We have a motion. Might there be a second?
Second.
Thank you, Bill. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Opposed, please say no. Chair votes yes. Motion carries.
Good luck.
This concludes this matter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good luck.
What were you chuckling about?
What, a standing on ceremony?
No, not you, Brian. He was looking at me like, make
I was like, go ahead. Simple one.
Say something.
No one's going to argue with
you. Exactly. I don't have to change it.
And you did not disappoint us by coming up with something that
was supposed to be really simple. I knew I could do it. We knew you could.
Andy, you're consistent.
I tried. I really tried.
Petitioners, you're free to go. We have administrative stuff to deal with. I mean, you're more than walking to hang, but I don't know why you would.
Bye.
All right. Good luck, man.
Thanks, Chad. Thanks for
seeing you. See you later. Good night. Ah, sure.
I sympathize.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Be nice.
You too.
Start building out there.
The burning pit right now.
Christy, unless I'm mistaken, this is your
passing that statute, but we in the
show.
Apparently so.
Depends on what's happening.
So this is a follow-up discussion to our June 4th. That wasn't June 4th. I take that back. Our last discussion on this.
Well, it's been like 2 weeks this summer, I think.
And you weren't at this one.
I missed this one.
So this is a follow-up for our June 21st work session on housekeeping amendments for 2018. Since that time, this was also discussed with the Board of County Commissioners. And they all agreed with you on the following items to move forward to adopt taking out the commuter zone from Section 2, the definitions, and 5.3.1 of the table. They also agreed to separate 3.4.4 powers and duties of the Board of Adjustment into two sentences, as well as eliminate the zone change from the PUD process in order to streamline the process, and that is section 7.3.1. That is reflected in your attached Exhibit A of what those changes would look like. There is an additional item that we added on for discussion for tonight, which is clearly a typo that was recently found in the regulations in Section 5.9.3, Exceptions, and that references our sign code. And if you see there at the top of page 2, the sentence reads, the following signs do not require a minor use permit as long as the applicable standards, it used to say and, well, it does say and complied with, it should be R. So the recommendation is to correct that. The next item you all last discussed on inserting a new definition for fractional ownership. And the rationale behind that is it's currently something that is not allowed in the county, and it's not referenced in our land use chart currently. The recommendation by staff was to create a definition and insert it in the land use chart as not allowed, similar to how we handle and address short-term rentals. It's something that's not allowed in the county except for the commercial zone districts. And this also would, the recommendation would be to handle it the same and have it be not allowed except in the commercial zone district. When this was discussed with the Board of County Commissioners, there wasn't consensus on moving forward with this item. The issue or concern was that creating a new definition in this category could impact multiple ownerships of a property. And I think they want to put this discussion on hold at the moment. Chad may have a little more to add to that discussion. Did you have anything else you want to add to that?
I liked your definition where it says based on time. Does that make, I thought that was a good definition.
It is it's a definition that is commonly found.
Yeah.
I think one of the concerns is whether there is that maybe there should be more of a philosophical discussion, and this doesn't belong on housekeeping. And it may be more appropriate to discuss it along with vacation renters by owner when we discuss that again. And or maybe even recreational facilities. It could be appropriate to have that discussion at that point in time.
So if we were to go on and resolve this issue, would it be something that you would take to them then, or would it still get, I mean, I know they don't have to deal with it, but I think we're done dealing with it after tonight. And I think it's relatively simple to say what it is Planning Commission is trying to say. So I don't know why we need to have another meeting on it. This is our second work session on it.
Yes.
And I think we can resolve, well, where I thought the board was concerned was different types of ownership. And I think we can address that. And I think we can clarify the difference between fee simple ownership and fraction. So I don't know if the Planning Commission feels that way, but it seems to me that this is being pushed back for no reason. If that's the topic, I mean, if that's the issue, I think
I don't think I was here for this discussion.
You were.
I was not. Having said that, though,
this one because it blew up and it's like we got to do this again.
So, from almost though, that's going to become a legal definition issue. I guess what comes to mind. I think of Windwalk was not a corporation. They sold stock. Blah 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 blah.
LLC.
That's
a partnership, I thought.
That's a limited liability.
Well, yeah.
That's different.
Well, I think it's
someone buying April through June and someone buying...
Right.
Are different.
Yeah.
And I thought of a lot of different ways to address this. But one is everything now has a tax, or not a tax ID, but a parcel number.
Correct.
Right.
And I think the only thing Planning Commission is trying to say is that your ownership, no matter how you hold it, is under one parcel number. Now, that I don't know all the repercussions of that, but that's where I'm coming from here. I don't want Lot 1 Merrill subdivision broke into four parcel numbers. Now, I don't care how you hold title, whether it's LLCs, trusts, corporations, whatever, that's irrelevant. It's breaking that 35-acre parcel of Merrill subdivision into four different parcels.
Separate interests.
Well, we've got...
But is that the issue?
Yeah.
I would say it's part of the bigger issue, but you bring up that angle through the subdivision regulations, and we're actually talking about the land use in this instance. And I guess the underlying question is, do you feel that a timeshare is a single-family use? You know, because when I spoke...
It's a subdivision.
Staff,
you start deeding this stuff out, that's a subdivision,
right,
in my view.
Well, right, but let's set the subdivision aside because, you know, under... I don't want to get sidetracked on that, but under the definition, our definition of subdivision, which is the statutory subdivision definition of subdivision, a separation of interests is a subdivision. You know, so I don't know if there's a paperwork way around that, but I just want to focus on the land use here today.
But you hit it right square on the head. We're in agreement. Because as long as that's all under one ownership, it can't be fractional.
Sure could.
No.
The LLC couldn't set up its own fractional ownership?
I think you could. Easily.
That's in your partnership agreement, right?
Yeah.
How do we want to do it?
I mean, we don't care about that.
Right. Well,
that's not a subdivision of interest.
No, it's a subdivision of land use. That's his point.
No, because it's still entitled by the LLC.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
So whatever documents or covenant or whatever you want to put under that ownership, we don't get involved with that. But there's only one parcel. It's 35 acres in AF zone district. It's 35 acres with one. The tax bill gets sent to one part.
I got all that. I totally understand.
But it's a new
part. My question is, the point is this.
I followed your rules, and it's in one parcel. Now what I've done, turned around underneath that, one parcel for. I've gone out and I've sold to my buddies.
You can't sell it. You can use it.
Use it to my house. However you want to say that.
You can't eat it.
Fine. But the point is, are you okay with then my going out to my buddies and say, okay, yeah, each you guys get a month?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because in the eyes of the county, it's one parcel.
Yep.
I get that, but I'm not sure that that's what we're.
Yeah, because you keep.
Like, people can't get around it, Steve, is what you're saying.
You keep going forward between subdivisions.
But you can do that now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so, that's new.
So let's say there was, you know, and I don't know this for sure, it's not here, but if, yeah, okay, you had four people, and they were in an LLC, four families, different families. They were in an LLC, they all owned a quarter fraction of that property, okay? And let's just set that aside, okay? So back to the land use issue is that is, so they've got a calendar on their website, okay? So they've each got 3 months out of the year, and they can each put in their requests and schedule their 3 months throughout the year. And
but
so,
it's not a subdivision.
And so let's just ignore that. I'm not sure. So if you're a neighbor and they live next door to you and there are people coming and going, it's the same four families if they don't let their friends stay there. Is that a single family use?
That's where I was coming.
Yes.
And I would say that it is not.
No,
because our
either.
Definition of family accommodates for, you know, blood, marriage, kinship, adoption, all that stuff, and no more than five unrelated people, and then the kicker here, living together as an independent housekeeping unit.
But there wouldn't be any problem in multifamily?
Maybe so. I mean, that's...
Because I can think of, you know, they could turn these condos up on the mountain into fractional ownerships and that.
And we haven't approached the city to see how they do that, because you're right, there are condos up on the mountain, I'm sure, zone districts that allow for this kind of thing.
Yeah, dear.
But then out in the county, in that zone district, you know, or even in the residential zone districts. I mean, I live out in Silver Spur. If this started happening next door to me, you know, my neighbors, whatever. Is that considered family? Are these people, this LLC, the owner, living together as an independent housekeeping unit? No. And that's how we enforce these right now. So when Christy, you know, typed up this memo basically adding the new line, it's to clarify that you can't have this in the AM zone. I've had a couple of phone calls lately, you know, in conversations where they said, no, this is. So, you know, I've talked with Eric. He thinks it's defensible now. But the Board of County Commissioners has a strategic initiative, of which I am the champion, I'm the leader, and that's to clarify county process. That's why it's in front of you today. Because the way the regs work, if it's not mentioned, you can't do it. And I see a fractional ownership as different, and not just me, fractional ownership different than a single family use. So, if you think we need it, back to Christy's point, if you think we need to have a deeper philosophical conversation about this, request that you set it aside and we revisit this later.
That's the only issues. I mean, the two or three that are out here on the table, that's the only issues we have to talk about.
Okay.
I mean, am I not seeing something?
You know, the thing that I couldn't answer is that, because at that point, if you're having this philosophical conversation, then I think we would need to bring in that subdivision issue. And I don't know what constitutes a separation of interest in this event. I probably have to check with Gary Peterson and Eric now. I can talk about
that. But everything that you're referencing maybe it doesn't meet the county definition that you quoted, but having four families own that big house in Sydney Peak, as long as they hold it as whole title as four family LLC, they're allowed to do that now.
But are they living together as an independent housekeeping unit?
When they're there, they are, I'm assuming. But you're trying to make a distinction between how many families own something, and we don't do that now.
If I get a complaint, If it's broken up into 12 ownerships, everybody has it for a month, and there's a revolving door of people coming and going in the house next door to somebody, and they say, hey, is this permitted in my zone district? I'm going to say no.
Ooh, now I like that for sinking teeth into VRBOs.
Well, that's exactly how where it's going.
That's
why it's so similar.
Yes, right. That is actually somewhat enticing.
Yeah, and so maybe that's another reason that this gets set aside, so we can bring it up in the context of the VRBOs as well. What's lodging and what's a single family or a multifamily?
Okay.
Which,
but next time we look at this, then figure out how the county views an illegal subdivision for us.
Sure. Yeah, I can do that.
So what we're trying, or what you're trying to do, is keep it so that you don't have rotating families, tenants, whoever they are, through one property, whether it's by ownership or whether it's by VRBO.
Well, I'm just following the lead of the Planning Commission and the Board of County Commissioners for once. I mean, but I can tell you, and Troy and Bill will probably back me up on this one, is that if we had the same conversation the year after the master plan was adopted, the Planning Commission would say it's commercialization of the AL zone district.
Troy? And hell no, it's not permitted.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so that's the programming that I've
seen. Yeah, no.
But that doesn't mean that this Planning Commission, this board, have to agree with the old ones. But
I think they should.
We just have to have that discussion.
The commercialization piece seems to me clearly to relate to VRBO. I'm not sure it's commercialization if you have multiple owners.
But what if it's 24 owners and everybody gets it for 2 weeks out of the year? You know what I mean? At what point is the logic?
But is that really commercial?
Right.
I mean, it's a lot of owners going through it, and we may say that's not what we want.
When
you say single family ownership, you're saying it's got to be the same family all the time.
Yeah.
And in your examples, though, I'm hearing the county getting into the covenant world. Because if I own that house, and I want to divvy it up to my family.
That's allowed under the definition of family, is what Chad was saying. That would be covered.
Well, then, my colleague. But,
okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not familiar that the county is involved in that today. Now, maybe by your definitions you are, but again, I don't try to regulate, or I don't think it's right to regulate how people hold title to property and how they want to use it under that title. What I'm concerned about is separation of interest and separate deeds and chopping that parcel into different pieces, because that to me is a subdivision. And I view that different as trying to regulate the use of how many people I'm letting come stay at my house, or how many times I let people come stay at my house. So that's where I'm having struggles.
Has it been a problem in the AF zone where you've had people come in and complain about, oh, my neighbor's revolving door?
Only in the case of VRBOs. I haven't seen it in an instance of a timeshare yet.
But the rationale of why we brought this up in the first place was because there were realtors promoting, if you will, fractional ownerships out in the county.
Timeshares.
Yeah. And it's something that isn't allowed to be done. And so the intent of putting a definition and including it in the regulations under the land use chart was to make it clear that it wasn't something that was permitted.
But this is begging that bigger question. Do each of you, each of the board members, feel that this is something that should be allowed in our AF or residential zone?
Yeah, no. No.
Again, in enforcing the master plan?
Yep. Nope.
Doesn't sound like agriculture to me.
So now, at the risk of just going backwards on you, do you have a problem with this definition then?
I was just going to expand on it.
Oh, good.
Well, just a few words.
Sure.
Pretty cool.
After time, I have a comma, whether fixed, rotating, or revolving.
Oh.
Because I don't know how all those timeshares work. You get this week, this year, and those 2 weeks next year, and whether they rotate.
Whether fixed, what, or what? Rotating, I heard.
Fixed.
Had the rotating.
Rotating or revolving.
I'd do the same.
Probably, but you ever known an attorney that minced words? I'm not an attorney.
I was just saying, did you change professions on me?
I just read them. I read them.
It would seem to me that it really only applies to multifamily structures, not single-family structures, but...
Not really.
No, you could have a 35-acre ranch with a single-family home that's held by a, just what Troy is saying, that's held by a trust. And within that trust, they set up their fractional ownership.
But that's where I get involved with the covenant thing. We're not regulating covenants. And I don't want to tell people what they can put in their trust or their LLCs or the corporations.
Mm-hmm. No, but you just fixed it with this.
As long
you
as
just
fix it with this. Yeah, fix it with the definition and keeping it a single parcel. Again, if you deed, I think all these timeshares in Steamboat Springs have their own separate deed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Unit 10 at Chaparral or whatever. That's what I'm trying to avoid.
Get it. But I think
it's all held. That piece of land is held by a single entity.
Got it. But I don't think that solves this problem.
No,
because I can tell you, I can work around it.
Well, and maybe that's okay.
Yeah, but if you're the definition.
If it's a commercial or a VRBO, then I'm not in favor of that.
Yeah, but this definition wouldn't resolve that problem. Because it doesn't care about how you hold it. Can't do it.
Yeah, I think what we're trying to do is regulate the actual use.
No question.
If I'm the neighbor, I don't care what your deed says or anything else like that. What I care about is all these people were in here and now they're all moving out. There's all this traffic and now another group is moving. I mean, I don't care whether it's by VRBO or whether it's by ownership or whether it's a subparcel or whatever. What we're trying to do is just eliminate that kind of use.
Exactly.
Well, where you don't have the same family staying in there all the time.
I think we all agree with that. We don't want the revolving residences. But I also don't want that parcel subdivided. And that's why deeding matters.
It's very interesting.
Because you're subdividing a 35-acre parcel.
Right. Yeah, you made your point on that.
I get
that.
Peter didn't get it. What I'm saying.
Okay. Are we done with this for now?
We're going to take it up again?
We're going to take it up again, sounds like.
For now.
Well, but at least part of the program is the BCC gets a sense of where the PCs are at.
Right.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
They'll have the minutes.
Then we'll do it again.
Moving on?
Yes.
So the next item was also intended to help clarify existing language that I have highlighted there up on the screen, which is the existing language that we have now under Section 3.4.6 under standards for grant or deny a variance. And I highlighted the word profit, which is normally in there, and it says, under no circumstances shall a variance be granted on the sole basis of personal convenience, profit, or special privilege to the applicant. And the concern was that profit, that language, would trip up the Board of Adjustment of what the intent of that language was. So the recommendation was to... when we discussed this last, you all decided to add in additional language, which is the next next highlighted section, where you all recommended to include or cost of development after profit to help clarify what profit actually means. However, when this was discussed with the Board of County Commissioners, they recommended to eliminate both profit and cost and leave the rest of the sentence and bring it back to you all for discussion. Their rationale for that is B is all under, comes after A, obviously, but A reads that the Board of Adjustment may grant a variance if all of the following standards, which are 1 through 5, are found to exist. And the argument that was made is that profit or cost of development can be considered under number 1 of the standards as a hardship. And since it's very clear that you have to have also 2 through 5 of those standards in addition to 1, it wasn't even necessary to even put it under B, and you can eliminate it and leave personal convenience or special privilege to the applicant, because those are 2 items that can't fall under 1 or under the other standards.
Makes sense.
I know that this has gone round and round.
So we just actually made it simpler.
Yes. So the recommendation by Board of County Commissioners was to eliminate both profit and cost of development, and then see what you all, how you all felt about that.
Do you have in front of you the 1 through 5s?
Probably
not.
I don't.
No, it's not.
It's all 5 standards.
That's
for
what
you
I went
to.
Over during my COA 101 class last time.
I can read them to you really quick.
Raise yourself.
Oh, yeah, it's good stuff. So, number 1. Hold on 1 second. So number 1 has to do with hardship and its peculiar and exceptional practical difficulties or unnecessary and unreasonable hardships will be imposed on the property owner if the provisions of this resolution are strictly enforced. So therefore, profit and cost of development could be argued to be a hardship and a reason to grant a variance. But
you don't have to go any further. I just want to make sure that in the 5... we didn't even know. Is it possible to even put need be? That's where I was coming from.
Okay.
But I can see. Yeah, it's okay. Never mind.
But, you know, A is pretty clear that, you know, you can't right. just. B is important because it's stating that, you know, you can't just grant a variance for simply personal convenience
right.
or special privilege. You need to consider all standards for a variance. You have to meet 1 through 5.
But you can argue profit?
You can argue profit, which is really considered
cost of
development.
You can argue cost of development? I made a,
as a hardship.
That's the hardship.
I made a stupid decision and paid too much. Now I want you to give me a variance?
It's a hardship.
But that doesn't sound
no,
like...
No, let's say you want a front yard variance because... outside of that setback, you have to have a driveway that winds up the hill. And not only is it going to scar the hillside, but it's going to cost an extra $50,000. You know, and I'd like to hang the hat on the scarring.
Sure.
But you could put those two together and say cost of development and scarring of the hillside. So that's maybe not the greatest example, but that's where you could use it to satisfy... just the first criteria, and then you got to deal with the other 4. Right?
But you use the words cost of development rather than profit.
Right.
And I think that's much smarter than profit.
Well, we decided that at the last meeting, actually.
Yeah, I think then I agreed with profit.
I don't know why.
I think we're getting rid of all of it.
I did too. I think
I need the Board of County Commissioners is correct.
Yeah.
Me
too.
Yep.
Okay.
Right? Everybody agree?
Good job.
Let's go.
Okay.
All right. Moving on.
Okay.
So the second part of that work session had to do with proposed amendments to our secondary dwelling unit regulations. And there were 2 items here bulleted The first was recommended allowances for SDUs in all residential zoning districts if the lots are served by water and sewer. And this would include areas of West Steamboat, Stagecoach, Steamboat Lake, Treehouse, Pittsburgh. This was brought to the Board of Community Commissioners, and they were in favor of this. Most of you seemed to be in favor with this amendment as well at that time, but you did want to follow up with the discussion at this work session.
So you can do an SDU on a one-acre lot as long as it's got sewer and water?
Correct.
And it's attached.
Currently, right now, it would have to be attached, but that's up to the second part of this discussion. Yeah.
What did the board want to do with Treehouse?
They did not want,
Well, Treehouse didn't want it.
Right.
Yeah,
it was the district, the water district.
They couldn't do it because of the water. But was the board just going to leave it in there as clumped all in, and if they got it, they
right.
got it?
Correct. Okay. Yeah, same as how we handle covenants. Just say if there are covenants that would prevent SDUs in some of these locations, that's a separate issue. But our regulations would allow you to do that.
But they were okay with the fact that it's a one-acre site and we're now going to have another dwelling unit on it.
As long as you're served by water.
There are quarter-acre lots in Steamboat, too.
Mm-hmm. I don't care about it.
Steamboat, too.
Well, it's county.
It's allowed.
You better.
Still 5 acres.
They're allowed.
What's that?
And then they have zone district, it was still 5 acre minimum.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, because that last round of changes was, you know, that if you have, used to be you couldn't have a secondary building in AF zone district unless you had 35 acres.
Right.
And then that was changed to 5 acres.
Right.
Between 5 and 35, it had to be attached.
Right.
What's in front of us is if you have between 5 and above. Well, 5 and above, you can now have a detached.
But there was also discussion about the facts that the reality of that actually taking place, in other words, the secondary unit coming in on those parcels, might be between slim and none because there may not be water available.
Right, depending.
So you got
depending on if you're part of the county that's over-appropriated or if you want to go through the application plan process.
Right.
You know, there was a time when this county was concerned about costs of services. Because I think if you add secondary units to West Steamboat, Stagecoach, Steamboat Lake, Pittsburgh, Milner. Well, Milner doesn't have a water system, do
they? They don't have water.
But anyway,
just a sewer.
I remember the days when we used to deny stuff because it was a cost of sheriff and fire and police and emergency services
and road and all.
Yeah, roads. And it seems like when you allow that many more dwellings and people, your budgetarying process
is going to be really short.
I would think you've got to have to up your budget.
But we've already done this. That was the discussion we had when we voted against secondary dwelling units pretty much unanimously, and the county commissioners said we don't care.
Yeah, but we didn't allow them at that time. We weren't talking about Steamboat 2, were we?
No. Early on in the conversation, but we took that off to focus on the Amazon district.
Heritage, Silverview,
right?
All those now get secondary.
Yeah, and you know, because the thought was that there are many of those residential districts where you can have a duplex anyway. You know, and then you know if it's high density residential, like a lot of Stagecoach, low density residential, Treehouse, Steamboat 2, Silver Spur, and then actually went back in after we took that out and just looked up some of the larger lots in Steamboat 2 and Silver Spur, they're not even big enough for a duplex. So it would just kind of reintroduce that eligibility or likelihood of getting, not a duplex, but a smaller secondary dwelling unit if you weren't big enough for a duplex.
Yeah, that would probably be my only reason to not support that is just cost of county services. Increase.
Wouldn't your property taxes increase if you have an extra unit on your,
of course.
You know?
Yeah.
You'd be reassessed and you'd now have 2 units on that property, so I would assume your valuation would increase. for the cost of that unit, at least.
We already know that we provide inadequate services, though. We don't have the sheriffs to cover. We don't have road and bridge to cover. Planning stretch then.
I think it was also a way county addressing affordable housing or more housing options.
Did the county consider the fact that most of the governments of these subdivisions will only allow one single family residential per lot anyway? So what's the point?
Well, covenants can be changed.
Right.
Not easily.
No, but they can be. 75%.
Correct. Well, and how many people are buying properties now, which is the big trend, to turn them into the VVRO market, and now you're going to put a second unit on it and rent that one out too? Mm-hmm. It seems like you're encouraging more commercial activity in residential zone districts. It doesn't seem like a very smart move. Although, like what Troy is saying, the balance side is there's quarter-acre lots with houses on them. So how can you say a one-acre lot couldn't do it? Because you still have to meet the building requirements. You still have to meet
the setbacks. Quarter acre is what they're platted at in Heritage and Silver Spur and Steamboat too. 1 acre is just arbitrary.
Because you have to still meet your setbacks. You still have to meet everything from building to allow you to put the unit on the piece of land. Except for now it's easier to say that the cost of development is a hardship and I should get a variance.
It's always
so the setback, so you can build.
That hasn't changed.
No, it hasn't.
Maybe for a long time.
No, it's been that.
So am I sensing some backpedaling?
I don't know, because some people would argue that if you could build a secondary unit and you get an additional rent for that, that makes housing more affordable for more people because now they have a way to offset their mortgage. You know, there's two sides
sure.
to all of these.
That's a word.
It also concentrates growth in areas that are already developed, which is a good thing.
I needed help with my rent, so I built a $300,000 structure. I understand the point that you're saying, but the whole thing is so nebulous because they're not affordable. A $1,500 one-bedroom apartment isn't affordable.
Yeah, but it could be an elderly parent. It could be teenage, you know, college-age kids that, you know, want a separate place to hang their hat.
I hear you.
Secondary units, there's two sides to that discussion. And frankly, if you look at planning nationally, you guys can attest to it. Everybody across the country is adding secondary accessory units to their zoning codes. Everybody is.
And everybody's running out of water, running out of fire and water, running out of. They're parallel trends.
Well, that's a population problem.
That has nothing to do with it.
And I hear that flooding the market. There was actually just a discussion on NPR about this morning about how there's a movement in like these big cities, you know, to push for development, and the anti-development is because, hey, less supply means my market goes up, my prices go up, I make more money. So
homeowners don't want it because their values are going up. And
I understand the concept of it. I mean, in general, can you scroll back up to what the sentence is that they're trying to do? All residential zoning districts, if the lot is served by central water and sewer.
Stagecoach.
See, that's a key thing, too. You know, being on a water, you're in a growth center. You're being supplied.
And we said we wanted these type of things to be focused in growth centers if possible, but the opportunity to be able to have a secondary unit for your parents to come live in when they get older, and that's understandable.
What are you expecting from us?
If this is something that you would like to move forward with adopting an amendment that would allow SDUs in all residential districts.
And then we're also...
If they are served by water and sewer.
And then the attached and detached question, right?
That's the second question.
And maybe these are already approved, I don't know, but central water and sewer systems would include things like Catamount, all of the
metro district.
Any metro district, right.
Well, I don't know. That's the question.
A lot of those allow secondary dwelling units.
Already?
Already. Well, Marabu.
And those are all AF some district anyway. I mean, this isn't... What was in front of us today isn't impacting AF. It's just the residential.
But doesn't Todd Creek have a central... Or Vista Ridge or something have a central...
Vista Ridge at
Water Station.
Yeah.
Creek Ranch has.
I don't know if anybody built
a water system. But again, they have some.
So what constitutes, how many units do you have to be a central water and sewer system?
20, I think. Minimum.
Well, because they have the certification on Steamboat Lake Sanitation District, and I think that's
enough. Let's talk about zoning.
Right, and then that would be the thing. I mean, if you're in one of our residential zone districts, they all have, I mean, you have to have a central system in order to get the approval for a subdivision in the residential zone district.
So AF is not considered a residential zone district?
High, medium, low, and general.
So a little straw poll?
Well, so you could have five people hook into a big well. Is that a central water system?
I don't think so. I think there's a definition. It's a state definition.
Yeah.
And I think it's 20.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, you'd have to come through our process to establish the water and sand district. And you should have done that already before... the subdivision was even approved.
Huntspeak Village has a bunch of people tapped into a well.
Uh-huh.
But that wouldn't qualify.
That's the Huntspeak Historic Zone District. It's not high, medium, low, or general. It doesn't apply to AF or to HBA.
Mm-hmm. Well, Murphy-Larsen has. Well, do they... They do have a central water system, but then they're all bleach. Yeah.
Right, and AF subdivision.
And AF.
I just am wondering if we're overlooking something by the language. I don't know the definition, like Steve does. I don't know the definition of a central water and sewer system.
The definition for central water system... is a system which has at least 15 service connections or regularly serves an average of at least 25 individuals daily at least 60 days per year.
See, 15 or 25, you just put them in 20.
And then the definition for central sewage treatment system is a system which has a design capacity to receive 2,000 or more gallons of discharge daily.
And okay. There's a permit process for them.
So now, like, you're trying to open it up a little bit more. Well, I get it still hinges on residential.
It's all residential.
It's all residential. Because the ones where there's a shared well, five sharing a well, and septic, that's always AF. It doesn't really fall under that, what we're talking about.
Yep.
So, straw poll. Are we okay?
On which item are you?
Well, one at a time. And that would be, the first one would be, are we moving forward on and agreeing that SDUs in all residential zoning districts, if the lot is served by central water and sewer?
So we're saying we're voting yes or no?
I'm interested, yeah, are you recommending that? Are you okay with it?
Yes.
It's our discussion, you know, would we support that if it was to come back in front of us?
Yes. Well, I think we're past that.
Or
it's a recommendation. It's a recommendation.
Is this a recommendation for approval we're voting on?
This is a recommendation. It's a work session item.
Right.
Yeah. We're just
so it's straw poll.
Yeah.
So Roberta's a yes. Hold on here a minute. I get my spreadsheet going.
So there will be one more.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
I think I voted no last time, but I'm flipping one.
Yes. So it's a yes now? Peter?
Sure, yes.
Yes. What poll did
yes.
I could be convinced.
Is that everything?
What is it? Yes or no?
Where's your maybe category?
Well, I'm still, you know, there is possibly a point out there that I could change my mind. But for the most part,
well, we'll bring this back to you with some proposed language and amendment, and then we'll discuss it.
I think it will pass.
Okay. Consensus is yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now we're into the distances.
Oh, yeah. So the next part of this discussion has to do with whether or not parcels less than 35 acres if an SDU can be considered provided that it is attached to a qualifying accessory structure. As you know, right now, under 35 acres, that SDU would need to be attached to the primary dwelling unit. And it was brought up, and I think there was an agreement with most of you all, and there was an agreement with the Board of County Commissioners that if you can have an accessory structure as of right, what difference does it make if that SDU is attached to the single family dwelling or an accessory structure? And you all agreed that you know, you wanted to have more discussion on this. And Board of County Commissioners agreed with that also, that they wanted to see more discussion on this. One of the concerns, I think what everybody agreed with is that everybody wanted to continue seeing that clustering of structures to support the master plan, you know, to have that ranch compound look. So we didn't want to increase we didn't want to increase that 300-foot maximum separation that is currently in the regulation. Some of you made a recommendation, actually, to possibly rein that in a little bit for smaller parcels.
Yeah.
So on smaller parcels, like 5 acres, that the 300-foot separation was still too much, and maybe, you know, to support that ranch compound structure to limit that 300 separation. And then there were some additional discussion items that came up, and it was either possibly limiting the type of structures to allow only qualifying structures to be eligible for an SDU.
What does that mean?
The concern that staff had brought up is that if somebody were just to build a shed and on their property or a carport as a way to just build an SDU, that does not support the ranch compound look. I mean, it would have to be an integral part of an accessory structure, whether it be a barn or a detached garage. And that kind of falls into the second point there. Having attached mean that it's an integral part of a structure inside of a structure. Those are just two points that were made. Allowing detached SDUs in all circumstances that would allow an attached SDU. So that's just kind of just open the door for anything. I don't know if you want to put limitations on this language or this amendment. And last would be allowing detached SDUs in all circumstances that would allow an attached SDU, but also decreasing the max separation of 300 feet to something less for parcels on less than 35 acres. So those were the discussion items that were presented last time, but then the last two came from the discussion that we had.
So the first two, your concern is, or the concern was that somebody could build a building with a secondary unit in it, and then go build the primary that would be in excess of 300 feet?
No, I think it was more intended that somebody trying to circumvent the regulations and just building a structure for the sake of building a secondary dwelling unit. And really what you're going to have is two dwellings on the property, whereas I think the intent is that, you know, you should have one primary looking residence on the property and then accessory structures, barn structures. It would still have to keep that appearance of an accessory structure as opposed to really building two dwellings on the lot. It would still have to meet that 800 square feet, mind you. So you do still have that language that isn't up for amendment.
So if I had an 800 square foot primary residence and I wanted to build an SDU of 800 square feet, you're saying that shouldn't be allowed because they look the same?
From an appearance, you know, of what you're trying, what we're trying to prevent, yes.
About my primary is 850 square feet.
5,000.
Tiny house.
Tiny house. Two tiny houses.
And I have
In general, what you see is you'll see a barn or a detached garage, and it's built above that.
Right.
Right, so somebody has, let's say, 5 acres right now, they have a house on it, they have a barn, and they want to put above the barn, make an SDU, and like, well, you can't because you can only build it if it's attached to your house.
Right.
You can't turn the barn into your SDU. But we're saying, I don't know, I would think you should be allowed to. You're allowed to build a barn as a secondary structure.
Right.
That's what we're saying.
Why can't you have your SDU in it?
Right.
The whole argument of attached seems like it tied to somebody's idea of what this would look like visually.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in a lot of cases, like putting your SDU above the barn is going to be visually more appealing than coming up with some half-assed way of, let's see, do I put it next to the corner and do I have a little hallway between it and stuff. I mean, I don't think the attached thing gets us anything.
Mm-hmm.
I can see.
Yeah, it's still supposed to maintain that residential, a single family dwelling appearance. When the existing language and the existing regulations were attached, that was the intent. And that's one of the standards that it still maintains.
Well, but
that.
You want the SDUs to look like somebody put an addition on their house, or do you want them to look like there's more than one building, which is much more the norm in rural areas anyway.
Right, and I think that's the question for you all.
Well, the last time we talked about this, I thought we agreed that having it as part of a barn or a garage was fine.
Yeah, I thought.
And we put that out there, that was the agreement, but then there was a second part of the discussion that whether or not to the last bullet point there, I included that based on your discussion. And that was, you started talking about limiting that 300 max separation for the smaller parcels. And I don't know if
but
you all still
agree with
that.
That's a different piece than, I mean, I thought we were all in agreement to get rid of this attached, detached.
That's kind of where I remember we left off because, you know, because the way this the whole thing got started was more or less, if you have a detached garage or a detached barn, then you should be able to put a unit in if it's there already. You know, okay, but the way that I, you know, perceive it's happening is that, hey, if somebody wanted a detached unit and they were, you know, something like this passed, all they would have to say is, hey, I'm building a detached garage. Oh, and by the way, I don't think you're doing it. You know, it really wouldn't be that enforceable. And so that's when that idea came up. Hey, how do you feel about if you're entitled to an attached, now you can have a detached? It'd be the easiest thing to enforce because we wouldn't have to worry about what it's in, just that it's within 300 feet.
Well, even the 300 feet, you know, like, think about bunk houses on a ranch. They might be a little bit away from the main house, but then the bunk houses are all kind of clustered together. And encouraging clustering is great, but economics almost always encourage clustering because it's really expensive to distribute
utilities
around. So some of that might happen just by
economics.
A function of economics.
But the words are maximum 300 feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, right. What is reducing?
And we can leave that as is.
It's gonna.
You all brought it up.
You should have the flexibility to move it around, the pieces around.
My bigger concern is the smaller lots, but the 300 feet will never come into play.
Yeah.
Never. 300 feet wouldn't work on a 1-acre lot. It's impossible.
It does not. But it just, I mean, it says maximum.
It's going to hurt you if it's only 400.
Right. So am I hearing everybody is in agreement with bullet three, just allowing detached SDUs in all circumstances that would allow an attached SDU?
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
In the AF zone district, are you guys in favor of, if you're in a residential zone district, the smaller lots, it has to be attached? Or is it okay to be
detached? I mean, if you can have a detached garage, why couldn't you have a detached secondary unit, okay, even on the smaller lots?
Right.
You know?
Okay.
As long as it meets setbacks and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we need to just get rid of this detached, attached.
That way you don't have to.
Okay.
It's not over-regulated.
All right.
Good.
That's it?
So this, what's that?
Get rid of our definition of attached.
Yeah. So we do need a recommendation on.
Are we moving on?
Yeah.
A recommendation on the items in Exhibit A.
1, 2, and 3, right?
So meter zone, everything that was recommended.
The three bullets.
The three bullets?
Well, actually, it's four bullets on page one.
Four on page one. Got it.
I think we're all in accord with that as a recommendation.
Recommending.
Yeah. We're not looking at.
To adopt.
Yes.
Those amendments.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And.
And I think the consensus was we were okay with the Board of County Commissioners' revised definition, B. Correct.
So we'll include that in recommending to adopt that language?
Yep.
Okay.
And then the consensus you have in the last two items. The SDUs across all residential.
Okay.
Provided they run centrally.
We're not all okay with that.
What's that?
We're not all okay with that yet.
But the first one you were.
I'm still hung up on the 300 feet.
Oh, that's the second one, though. Okay.
You're not there yet?
No.
Sorry.
No, I'm done. Now we're to the second one.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to. We have an awful lot of 35 acre subdivisions and quite a few MRE subdivisions, which lots probably go from 3 to 5, 7, 5 acres. And then all of these scattered 35-acre subdivisions. I'm worried that 300 feet doesn't look like a compound to me on a 35 or a 5.
It's too big.
It's too much distance. In other words, you got to pay a price. If you want to have that detached secondary unit, you got to pay a price for that. And that is, you don't get the whole freaking lot here, 300 feet radius. That's 600 feet. No, I guess that's kind of irrelevant.
Yeah.
I'm trying to keep this thing looking rural, if that's fair. But I think of Elk River Mountain Ranches, game trails, all those things out there at Mount Harris, all the White Woods, Deer Mountain Estates, Elk River Estates, a myriad of MRE. And I think it should be less than 100 yards.
for the secondary unit. I'm okay with it being detached, but...
That's about 300 feet.
That is.
Yeah, I think it gives you... I mean, I drag a tape around some of these big lots when we're measuring. 300 feet is pretty quickly eaten up. I mean, that's a 35-acre parcel. It's a lot of land, and being 300 feet away, to me, doesn't seem that excessive on that amount of property. And I think each one... You'll still have to abide by all the setbacks and everything.
I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about the cluster. I'm concerned about the master plan, the rural blah, blah, blah landscape, that whole point. I couldn't hear you. What was your comment?
Well, just that 100 yards was the same as 300 feet, roughly.
Right. And I think that's too much.
Well, I actually think that your comment about the utilities will drive this. How far apart the buildings end up being. It's expensive.
When people are paying $1 million for a house in white cotton.
Well, that's true.
I don't think a $25,000 utility line is going to be. I don't want to be totally over the top here, but.
100 feet? 150 feet?
Well, say. Does 200 fit more comfortably with the planning?
I think your point is valid.
Does the planning commission feel more comfortable with shrinking that compound? I'd like to say 150, but I'm not sure you've got that support.
I don't, because sometimes, too, in the topography, it's some, you know, if you can't fit it in, you know, it gives you a little more leeway, maybe, with the 300 feet that...
But you're screwing up the whole goddamn valley.
In how many cases? I mean, are we going to have
a huge number
of people that are going to be building secondary units 299 feet away from the residence?
Probably not.
I don't think it's going
to
screw
up. No, I think the few that have to do it.
Well, then let's regulate it then. What number would you suggest? If they're not going to do it, then what number would you suggest?
I mean, I'm okay with the 300 feet because it's a maximum. I don't think that many people are going to say, well, let's get the secondary unit as far as possible from us. I don't know.
Probably.
It is
because it's a VRBO structure.
Yeah.
And I don't want
that. That ought to be 800 yards.
Even
if it's toned down, somebody wants... Could that be part of the... appeal process?
They can appeal the 300 foot separation.
Yeah, it's already there for the BOA, maximum separation between primary and secondary. So if there's like a topographic reason of why it can't be 300 feet, you can ask for 350. If there's a water body or steep slopes or something.
So the same is true then, though, conversely, if it was set at 200 feet or 150 feet, that too is subject to
a variance. True.
Even if they can't be within 200 feet?
Correct.
And I think that was a little more of the intent of why staff brought up qualifying accessory structure, because more than likely, if an SDU was in a detached garage or a barn, it's likely it's going to be closer to the primary dwelling unit for that use.
Particularly if you have to shovel.
Exactly.
Or what?
Chip or snow.
I don't know, you're going to find people that are thinking, if I'm building this for my teenagers, I want it as far as possible.
Well, there's another way to skin the cat, because what we're trying to do is encourage clustered development. That's at the root of what we're trying to get to. So is there another way to get that done?
Charge them a fee of so much per foot past 150.
Why don't you just leave it at 150 and we're done? Done.
Leave it at?
And not leave it. Make it 150. Then we're done.
So less than 35, 150 separation.
Yep.
All of them. And they can appeal that if there's good topographical.
Well,
because 35 is what I'm talking about. The game trails and the Elk River Mountain Ranches. When you drive up Elk River Road and you look up there at Elk River Mountain Ranches,
right,
you see a hillside kind of dotted with homes.
Right.
potentially, not talking about costs and all that, but now you're taking all of those lots up there from a visual vista of this county and potentially putting a bunch of more dots on that hillside detached from the primary road.
I got you not. I'm okay with the 150.
Well, say 200. I don't like that. It's too... That's 30.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
200.
You're driving this distance now. I meant...
Trying to make everybody
no,
happy.
No, I like it. But the point is, it's 35 acre lots as well.
We could vote two or three or see what the...
You're already voted out, so...
I want three. Yeah.
I know you do.
I give them a little more room.
That's because you're a builder. You want
I know,
to
build
all
build
this crap.
Yeah. They go build
200.
It's so arbitrary.
It's 200.
It's very arbitrary. But it complies with the master plan, in theory. Because we're maintaining the rural character of our county.
But that's fine. Let's just vote 200.
Right.
You got it.
And we've got our finding of fact.
Yeah.
I got it.
Which is what we did this so Troy wouldn't have to keep talking.
That's one way to win. That's one way to win. That helps Richard not have his answer.
I'm
in a different place.
Never mind. There's nothing after.
I'm on the States. I actually have those are all.
This is going to be a short.
Small.
What's the shortest?
You got to be somewhere. You got to be somewhere. Just
shut up. Bill does. Bill's got to be at the symphony, I thought.
Something.
That's a 60.
Nice.
I didn't.
Well, I mean, what interests me about the whole discussion is whether it's dots on the hillside or whatever. We had that whole discussion. That's why we said we don't want secondary fit with the master plan, period.
And they don't.
And now here we are all going,
when we originally did this, we went the same route with the 300. When we put that 300 in, remember, I think, Troy, it went over and over and over. Detached. How can we attach a detached at 300 feet? It just went forever.
Just sinked it.
So it settled at 300. Now 200?
That's 200.
You're done.
Okay. Only one thing on the calendar. 2 weeks from today, the 16th. SUP for mini storage units up 129.
The Aviator?
Who?
The Aviator?
It's across from the airport? Across from the airport. That was called the Aviator.
Oh, no. This is across from the entrance of Pearl Lake.
Oh, okay.
Way up there. Roberta.
Gotcha. Oh, boy.
Really? Way up in Property Flats up there?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you know that Little Hot Wing, right? It's
I have to.
That's the left, right before the right to go to Pearl Lake.
Yeah,
it's on the southwest corner of that intersection.
So this is for the 16th?
Yes, sir.
And there are those of us that think a site visit might be appropriate.
Correct.
Come on over.
That's the next point. Yeah, so we'll be getting the word out that we're going to take off the day of the meeting, the 16th. And go do a site visit up there.
Definitely, if you're not familiar with it, it's worth checking out.
I'd encourage as many commissioners as they can to make that.
You'll be able to see my trailer on the lot next door.
Well, I was going to talk about that, too. I was going to talk to Andy about that trailer. That should be gone. That's been sitting there for 3 years now.
No, we just put it back.
It's
all made in differently.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, can't go like
Hey, from those, since we got most everybody here, one more thing.
Well, my house is literally.
Who didn't go to Telluride last year for the state conference? Okay, this year, this October, it's in Keystone. So I'll send out an email, but I'd like to open it up to you guys first. We could probably send a few more people. So basically, once I get the count on who didn't go last year and who wants to go this year, I could probably open it up to a few more business in Keystone. I probably won't be paying for lodging on Friday night. It's a fairly short drive to get back home. So that frees up more money for the conference itself. But we'll be in touch. We've got to get moving on that pretty soon because they usually send out a notice when the early bird price expires.
so I'll get more info if you guys about that.
Yeah, oh, there we go. Always know what it is.
Steve.
Good. He's still.
Not tell you. I'm supposed to go to Mexico in October, and I have.
You're recusing yourself.
Starting.
So you can't go either?